Now, President Trump and other Republicans are questioning the integrity of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. The criticism followed the release of text messages between FBI officials who used to be on Mueller's team. In the messages, one of the officials called Trump a, quote, loathsome human, and more. But other analysts say Mueller's critics might be trying to discredit the investigation before there are any findings that could implicate the president. Lowell Barrington is an associate professor and chair of the Department of Political Science at Marquette University. He joins us now for a closer look at the story. Lowell, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Rob.
Well, what do you make of efforts by some Republicans in Congress, among others, to create doubts about this Mueller investigation, especially surrounding these texts?
Well, I think there are a few different ways to think about that, and one is what's being said and maybe what the actual goal is. I'm not sure even the House Republicans actually want Mueller fired, but I think you're correct that there is a sense that they are trying to discredit him and the investigation to weaken its impact, including when additional charges or indictments would come out in the months ahead. And so I think it's in some ways, even though it's really sounding like they're trying to help President Trump with the idea of firing Mueller, I think they really just are trying to discredit him in the short run.
And these texts between two of the FBI officials who had been involved in this investigation, and at least one of them in investigating Hillary Clinton previously, a lot of unflattering things said in these texts about Donald Trump, some about Bernie Sanders, former Attorney General Eric Holder, one about Chelsea Clinton. I mean, they were going after a lot of different people here. But in general, what do you make of the idea of looking at these sort of personal back and forths and then applying them to, did this bias the investigation?
Well, and the last part of your question is the key. I think it's unfortunate in some ways that they were texting this way. On the other hand, people have conversations in the workplace or outside the workplace all the time in this way. And I think we'd have to say that many of the FBI and people in justice were probably saying unflattering things about Hillary Clinton during the campaign as well. And I think this is somewhat normal behavior for people in their private conversations. That said, the question is, did it or has it affected the investigation in any way? And I don't think there's any evidence of that at this point, and certainly not any evidence that this should reflect, you know, on Mueller himself. And I think the testimony yesterday where Rosenstein basically expressed his strong support in Mueller is, at this point, where I think a lot of people are in both the Democratic Party and even a lot of Republicans.
Let's give a listen here to Rod Rosenstein from the Justice Department in that testimony you just mentioned.
Based upon his reputation, his service, his patriotism, and his experience with the department and with the FBI, I believe he was an ideal choice for this task.
Rod Rosenstein talking about Robert Mueller there. It doesn't seem like there's any indication from the Justice Department that they're going to try to step on this investigation or stop it or investigate it, as some Republicans are calling for. Is that right?
I think that's right. I think to the extent that there could be any kind of investigation, it might be a congressional committee investigation looking into some of these individuals. Peter Sturzok, for example, who was one of the people with the texting that you mentioned. I think that there could be hearings and things like that beyond what we've already seen. But it would be a really huge surprise to me, at least, if Rosenstein were to authorize and select a special counsel, a second special counsel, to essentially investigate the investigation.
Democrats are saying, hey, why did the Department of Justice release these texts to the media? They, not all of them in their collection, but they showed, I think, a few hundred texts to members of the media. Democrats saying, shouldn't we keep that quiet? This is an investigation that shouldn't be leaked to the media in this way.
Well, and I think it is fair to say it's unprecedented that this happened, but that doesn't mean it's automatically a wrong or bad decision. I think that Rod Rosenstein was in a very tough situation. So if it had come out, for example, that he had these texts and had basically been sitting on them and refused to let people know, then he himself could be charged with sort of hiding things that were going on in the investigation. So I don't think in an ideal world you bring in the media in the way they did and go through the text with them. But again, if you think of putting yourself in Rod Rosenstein's shoes, he certainly had a very difficult choice to make there, and I think was probably erring on the side of wanting to be as open and transparent as he could be.
That's interesting. It's a similar dilemma as a former FBI director James Comey had, where in some cases he was criticized for speaking publicly about where an investigation was. And if he hadn't, he would have been subject to criticism for keeping it quiet, especially in the midst of a presidential race.
I think that's right. And I think it's also important, just as a sort of thinking about this in a balanced way, to remind people that Democrats were very critical of Comey's FBI investigation of Hillary Clinton's emails, both kind of originally and I think especially when he decided very late in the campaign to announce that he was reopening that investigation. And there were certainly some implied bias in Comey in their criticisms of him. So it is something, you know, again, that we've seen before where people who don't like the direction that an investigation is going, that they will attack the investigator or attack the process to try to weaken the legitimacy of that investigation. I will say I don't think it's working, at least at this point. I think it plays well to a certain small group of people who are hearing a lot of information about the backgrounds of the people on Mueller's team, on their spouses, you know, things like that. I think that there is a group to which what was said at the Judiciary Committee oversight hearing yesterday, that certainly would ring true to a lot of people. But the evidence, at least from the general public, is that this is not working. And in fact, they're, at least at this point, quite supportive of both the investigation and specifically of Mueller.
We're talking to Lowell Barrington from Marquette University. He's at the Department of Political Science there, looking at the latest in Robert Mueller's Russia probe. And Lowell, let's get to the state of where we are in this investigation. The last bit of dramatic news, it's been, 10 days or so. Michael Flynn pleaded guilty on one count and is cooperating now with the Mueller probe. We haven't seen much since then, but what are you watching for when it comes to Flynn?
Well, that was a really important situation and development. I think a lot of people had thought that in a lot of ways Flynn was one of the big fishes that Mueller was going after by talking to other people. So the fact that there was a plea deal and at least a rather minimal charge compared to certainly what he could be charged with. And I would add, we don't quite know whether this is the only thing that Michael Flynn will be charged with. I think there could certainly still be additional charges, and that may be part of what Mueller is also holding over him. But, you know, I think it's bad news for people around President Trump. This is somebody who was really in the middle of a lot of conversations and actions about Russia. And so for him to be cooperating with the Mueller investigation, I think I would be pretty nervous if I was a number of top administrative officials, including the president, but certainly also Jared Kushner and even perhaps Vice President Pence.
In the Washington Post today, there was a report looking at how President Trump has treated the one of the core issues in the Mueller probe, Russian interference in the election last year. And the running theme is, for the most part, he has not acknowledged that. He's denied it in most cases publicly, very much so privately. There's been no high-level cabinet discussion of how do we handle potential future Russian interference in American elections. Is that something that worries you, whether or not it affected the election last year, that there isn't a big effort to stop it for the future?
It certainly worries me. I think that what we've seen from Russia is that they're willing to engage in this kind of activity, be pretty creative with it using social media, but also, you know, really also poking and probing and testing and seeing what they can do and get away with, that we could see them try something like this again in 2018 or even 2020 for the next presidential election. So I think all of us should be concerned if the administration and Congress are not taking this issue seriously. I do feel like a lot of people in Congress, including on the Republican side, are taking it seriously, but it would help if the administration was as well.
And then another facet of this is the question, was there collusion, cooperation between the Trump campaign and someone connected with Russia and hacking and campaign interference? We don't know a lot of what's going on behind the scenes at the Mueller probe. From what's out there in the public eye, do you think that's a case that is being made?
Well, I think we have to think about three different areas that Mueller's looking at. And I would add collusion is not always the right term, and certainly for something where he would be trying to make a case for illegal activity. The crime is actually conspiracy, which would be conspiracy to commit a crime and take some action toward engaging in that crime. So collusion itself, if people are just talking, that is not something that would be criminal. It could be something that could still be used perhaps in an impeachment case. But as a criminal act, the key is whether there was conspiracy to commit a separate crime, you know, in that ability to work together, that effort to work together. The second one is the obstruction of justice one, and that's one that I really feel like the investigations seem to be focusing a little more on in the last few weeks, including surrounding Flynn and that kind of timeline in the period before and after his firing. I think in some ways there is an effort to continue to work on that case. And then the third one that we just can't forget, and if you know if you had read the Manafort indictment and the Rick Gates indictment, it's hard to forget it at this point, but the financial crimes question is still in play. And Mueller is authorized to follow, you know, these threads as he starts pulling and seeing what he finds. And I think there should be real concern by both the president and people around him that there can be potential problems down the road here in terms of things related to tax evasion or money laundering.
We're talking to Lowell Barrington, chair of the Department of Political Science at Marquette University. We're looking at the criticism that Special Counsel Robert Mueller and the Russia investigation are receiving from some Republicans in Congress and the wider issues surrounding the investigation. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions and your thoughts. Are you worried about potential political bias in the Russia investigation? Do you think these criticisms from the president and some Republicans in Congress are valid? What are you watching for in the wider investigation? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We're continuing the conversation with Lowell Barrington, chair of the Department of Political Science at Marquette University. We're looking at the latest on the Russia investigation after some Republicans accuse it of being politically biased. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Do you think Special Counsel Robert Mueller is doing a good job on the Russia investigation? Is he the right person to be leading this? Do you think Republicans should be questioning whether there's political bias or conflict of interest in the investigation? What are your thoughts? What are your questions? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Lowell, just a few moments ago, you were talking about the financial side of this investigation. President Trump has said, hey, this is about collusion, which we didn't do. Going into the Trump Organization's finances is off limits, is it?
Well, I think the evidence from the Manafort indictment is that it's not off limits, that in fact, following the trail as new things come up in the Mueller investigation, he is allowed under the guidelines that were set up with the special counsel creation by Rod Rosenstein to follow those things that he finds. And I think it's hard to imagine that there would not be anything of interest to him, again, in areas of financial misdeeds, whether tax evasion or money laundering. And I think that's backed up by things that he's done, working with the IRS's criminal division, working with the New York State Attorney General, who has significant powers in the area of financial crimes compared to most states' attorney general. And I think the other one in this case would just be that we have a pretty good idea, I think, at this point, based on the number of documents that there was a leak recently about the number of documents and things that Mueller has collected, the number of electronic devices that they have seized, that he's looking for more than just a real narrow obstruction of justice at this point.
And I understand some bank records from a German bank are part of this investigation now?
That's correct. And again, that would be consistent with trying to understand from Mueller's standpoint whether, I mean, even if we're going to just stick with connecting it to Russia, whether there had been financial dealings and ties between Russians and Trump in a way that might have compromised him and might have led him perhaps down this path of frankly, what sometimes is puzzling to a lot of people, as you were talking about before, why he seems so unwilling to even acknowledge things that his own intelligence community have made quite clear.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Elaine is with us in Colfax. Elaine, hi.
Hi. I just had two comments, a quick one that I think Mueller is excellent, and I don't think it's been mentioned that he is a Republican lifelong. And the second comment I had is that during the campaign, Comey emphasized the problems with Clinton's email over and over and over again, but failed to mention that Trump's campaign was being investigated for ties to Putin or Russia. And I just wondered if your guest could comment on that, that he basically just made it one-sided when there was a lot going on in the investigative area of the FBI.
Elaine, thanks for that call. So, Lowell, we heard about the Clinton emails. We didn't hear so much about the FBI investigations of Putin and the Trump campaign.
Right. Let me start with Elaine's second point there. I think it's important to remind people of that. I think there was an explanation that Comey provided that he felt like the information about the Clinton investigation was going to be leaked if he did not come out with it, and he wanted to kind of control the message to an extent about that investigation. He apparently did not feel like that was likely to happen in the case of the investigation that was going on of Donald Trump. I think it's still fair to ask if you're trying to be, as he has tried to portray himself as being politically neutral and kind of apolitical in these investigations, why he didn't raise that publicly when he was talking about the investigation of Hillary Clinton. I think that's a fair question, and it's one I think, again, we have at best a partial answer to from James Comey. I want to say something about her first point, too, about Robert Mueller. His reputation is stellar, and I think when Rod Rosenstein was talking about him as not just someone with great experience, but his patriotism and dedication to the country, I think that's something, again, that people on both sides of the political aisle understand, despite some of the comments yesterday. I think that's really well accepted. And one of the examples I'd give, he was a Republican, looks like, in his background, but he was certainly appointed by a Republican president. And then his term was extended by President Obama that did require a vote in the Senate, which was 100-0. So, I mean, this is somebody, again, that both sides of the aisle previously had said, you know, is really beyond attack in this way.
Elaine, thanks for that call. We'll go next to Peter on the line in Plainfield. Peter, hi.
Hi. I'm wondering about the Trump dossier, and, you know, it describes all the horrible things that Trump and his wife did concerning disrespecting Obama and Michelle. Where did this dossier come from? And is that the basis of the original investigation, in your opinion?
Peter, thanks for bringing that up. It's a long and complicated story in some ways, Lowell. What do you think of the role of the Steele dossier?
Well, I think it's been brought into the investigation from time to time. And in fact, I think even Steele himself said he thinks it's probably only about 80% correct. And that's not unusual when you're given the task, as he was, and paid to collect this information. You talk to a lot of people and you put together a kind of tentative set of findings, some of which would work out and some of which would not. I don't think it was the basis for the investigation. I think that, again, it certainly, the FBI intelligence community certainly had it, and I think we know that. But the investigation was in many ways sparked by, I mean, the kindling was there, but sparked by Comey's firing. And again, the significant evidence from the intelligence community of actions by Russia during the campaign.
Peter, thanks for that call. I want to talk about the presidential pardon power, Lowell. The president could pardon people for federal crimes like Michael Flynn. But there's been talk that, hey, we're leaving some charges. Maybe they're leaving charges for a state prosecutor to file that would be not subject to that pardon power. Is that something you're watching for?
I think we are, and I think, again, especially because of Mueller's team's work with the New York Attorney General, I think that we would, and again, this relates also to the question of what happens if Mueller is fired, which, again, as I think we had talked about previously, I still don't think is likely to happen. There's some thought that President Trump could just go in that direction, and it would be difficult, though, because really, Rod Rosenstein would have to be the one to make that decision, and if he wouldn't, he would essentially have to be replaced by someone who would make that decision. So I do think it's unlikely, but if it were to happen, we not only have the investigation continuing because of the work with the state attorney general in New York at the state level. But as you said, the pardon power that the president has for people does not extend to state crimes. So the only way that at that point, if state charges were filed, that someone could be pardoned of that would be by a governor of a state, and that would be very unlikely in the case of New York.
Briefly, Lowell, what is the next bit of news that you're watching for in this story?
I think, again, we're all just waiting for the next charge or the next piece of information about what has actually been put together. It's really important to remind ourselves we know a few drops in the bucket of what the Mueller team knows, and we learn things as people are questioned. So we knew that, for example, many of the recent interviews were focusing on this period of time around when Michael Flynn was fired, which made people think again about obstruction of justice more than some other things at that point. So we can sort of find things here and there. But until you see a plea deal or an indictment document come out, I think it's hard to know exactly what's coming next. Again, I would say we should be thinking about obstruction of justice. We should be thinking about conspiracy charges. And certainly, again, keeping in mind that it should not surprise anyone if there are financial charges brought. And again, that would not
and
just be...
I'm going to have to jump in. Thanks to Lowell Barrington from Marquette University, looking at the latest on the Russia probe.